12. Let's go there. And brother, let's see, brother Ben, brother Cole, brother Jonathan, there's some blue chairs over here in this room. Get me three of them. Get me three of those blue chairs if you don't care. The ones I bought at a garage sale, they're coming in handy. This is the story of Mary breaking the alabaster box. And Matthew, or John, chapter number 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Sit one on the side, one in the front, and one on this side if you don't care. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment, living amidst worship. Tonight, to me, this atmosphere is charged with the presence of Jesus and the sounds of praise. Don't you think so? But notice what happens here. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, and I want you to notice something right here, Simon's son. That's what I want to preach to you about tonight. I want to preach to you about Simon's son in just a little while. Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. When you're worshiping, leave her alone. Let her be. Let her worship as she sees fit. Go with me to Luke. I need to read this or else some of this context will not make sense to you. This story is also found in Matthew 26, also Mark chapter number 14. Luke 7 and 36 is where this story picks up. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. Think about that sentence just for a second. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went down into the Pharisee's house. Now, we don't have time to go read Matthew, but Matthew tells you this is Simon the leper's house. Remember earlier we talked about Simon's son, Judas? This incident is taking place in Simon's house. Simon is referred to as a Pharisee, and he's also referred to as Simon the leper. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, or Simon, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. Notice that. He spake within himself. And God helping me, I'll try to tie all this together. He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? How much do you love Jesus tonight? Who loves him the most? Do you love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Seest thou this woman? I entered thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Amen. God help me tonight to preach to you, and God help you to sit there and endure it as much as I've got involved in my head and my heart. Amen. I'm glad some of you off work tomorrow. I just want to preach to you about living amidst worship. I make no apologies about it. My ministry, a lot of times I preach about worship and praise. Make a lot of references, preach a lot of sermons about worshiping the Lord and honoring the Lord, because I think praise is normal. I don't think praise is abnormal, but I think praise is normal for a child of God. I think those of us that have been sinners and been saved by the redeeming blood of Jesus, praise is as normal as breathing is to our natural bodies. It ought to be an automatic response just to want to magnify and lift up the name of the Lord. So I believe praise is commanded in Scripture, but more than that, praise is also personal, because nobody can praise him like you can. Isn't that true? Nobody can praise him for what he's done for you. You got to praise him for yourself. That's why I love corporate worship and corporate praise, because everybody's lifting up hands, worshiping him for everything he has done for them. How many tonight lifted up holy hands and worshiped him for saving you and redeeming you? How many believe we can worship him for saving us tonight? I do, don't you? Amen. Tonight, how many lifted up your hands and magnified the Lord just because he's been good to you this week, and he's healed your body, and he's provided your needs? He alone is worthy. He alone. No one else. No one else is worthy of praise and honor. And our story tonight is a lesson about worship. And many times in our text, I've preached about Lazarus. If we could illustrate this tonight, being the supper table, Lazarus was sitting at that supper table. Man, what an honor to be sitting there with Lazarus, the one who was dead just one chapter ago, but now there he is sitting at the supper table, eating, and what stories he could tell. I've preached about Jesus and how he's the one that raised Lazarus from the dead, that he was the resurrection and the life. But three different people I want to talk to you about tonight. First, I want to talk to you about Mary. Secondly, I want to talk to you about Simon. And thirdly, I want to talk to you about Judas. This whole story is perfumed by the act of worship for Mary. The reason I read the text over in the book of Luke is because the Bible specifically says, and he does not call her by name, Luke does. John writes the last epistle. He writes the last gospel. So as far as being historically correct, I guess I would go with John more than any of them, because there seems to be a little differentiation between the times. But nonetheless, the story and the details are there that we can overlap and realize that this is one story and not multiple occasions. But here comes, as Luke says, this woman of the city. Doesn't even call her Mary. Just says this woman of the city. He says this sinner finds that Jesus is in Simon's house and she wants to worship. So somewhere along the line that this Mary has fallen in love with Jesus. Some say that this Mary would be the sister to Martha, which would make sense, being that this is Simon's house, because some say that Simon was Martha's husband. Some say that this is Mary Magdalene that the devils were cast out of. But regardless of which Mary that it was, the fact was this: she was notoriously a sinner. The whole city knew who she was. She was such a sinner that Simon said, if Jesus really knew who she was, he would not even touch her. If Jesus really knew everything this woman had done, he would not even allow her to be in his presence. But there is Mary, as she disregards public opinion. There she is, as she disregards maybe even what some of her family possibly thought about her. And she looks back over her life and maybe some of the things that she had done wrong, some of the places that she had been, maybe some of the men, historians tell us that she was probably a woman of ill repute, so even some of the men that she had been with. And as she looked back over her life, and now she looks at the one that she has met by the name of Jesus, that is not going to judge her, that is not going to hold her past against her, but he's preaching a gospel of redemption. He's preaching a gospel of restoration and reconciliation. He's preaching a gospel that regardless of who you are, where you've been, and what you've done, that he's able to clean your past up. He's able to find a woman at a well who'd been with five husbands and now shacking up, but give her the ability to go and sin no more. This same Jesus, later on in this story, has the ability to forgive her of her sins, and they start muttering among themselves and said, what manner of man is this that not only does he do all of these miracles, but now he forgives of sins? I'm glad I can preach about Jesus tonight. Amen. Not just from a historical sense, but how many Marys in the building that we had done some things that we were not proud of, that if Jesus had known everything about us, we certainly would have wanted him to have kept it to himself. But oh, thank God for a gospel of redemption. Thank God for a gospel of reconciliation, a gospel of justification, that it's just as if I had never done any wrong. And so here comes Mary with an alabaster box, an offering that cost her much. Can I tell you, sometimes sacrifice is not cheap. Amen. Some try to say worship is shallow and worship is cheap and insignificant. I beg to differ with you, friend. Amen. My worship is completely different. Amen. Because I bring him a sacrifice of praise based on what he has done in my life. And when I look back in my life and realize that without Jesus, I'd be lost tonight. Without Jesus, I could be in hell tonight. Without Jesus, I have no hope of salvation. Without Jesus, I could not be the man that I am. Without Jesus, heaven would be a fairy tale and hell would be a sure thing. But can I preach to you about Jesus, the one that changed my life around? Anybody in this building tonight have the spirit of Mary that says, I'd just like to magnify the Lord? Amen. Maybe you don't have a physical alabaster box, but he wants the sacrifice of praise. Matter of fact, Paul told the Hebrews, it's a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. And every time I come to the house of God, I'm going to break that alabaster box and lift up holy hands and magnify the King of Kings, because, excuse me, friend, he's the only one that saved me. My praise isn't a show for you. It's not a display for you. But it is a worship. I said it's a worship to my Jesus, because without him and Calvary, I'm going to hell. Without him and Calvary, I'm dying lost. But because of Jesus,
I said, because of salvation, because of redemption, because of where he brought me from, he doesn't hold my past against me. I'm a new creature in Christ. Therefore, all things are passed away. All things are become new. Old things are passed away, and all things are new. And Mary said, I'm going to worship Simon. You can forget about your ridicule. You can forget about what you think of me. I didn't come to please you, Simon. I didn't come to interrupt your supper, Simon. I come to anoint his head. I come to anoint his feet. I come to fill this place with worship. I come to lift up his name, that I was a sinner, but he loved me as Mary. I was a woman of ill repute, but he loved me like a daughter. And she said, ain't nobody ever done me like Jesus. Ain't no man ever treated me like Jesus. So I think I'm going to praise him. I'm just going to worship him. And so 2,000 years later, I'm still talking about a sinner. Broken alabaster box. Sometimes we try to make our worship cute and pretty and put it in a box. Thank you, Jesus. But the Bible said, get this picture. Probably culture, she had her hair up, but she let her hair down. She stands behind Jesus as he sits at the table. And the Bible said that she is weeping. She is weeping. She has lost control of her emotions. Her whole life, she has done things wrong. Her whole life has been a dead end street. It's been mistake after mistake. But Jesus of Nazareth gives her a chance of a gospel of salvation. And she stands in his presence. And all she can do is weep. And she begins to anoint his head. And she washes his feet and begins to worship him. When is the last time that you were lost in worship, that you just broke down in tears and you just worshiped him as tears flowed down your cheek and realized, without Jesus, I'd be going to hell. Without Jesus, I would have died lost. But I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I don't know why you loved me. I don't know why you chose me. But I come to worship you. I come to honor you. I come to magnify you. I come to lift you up. I give you everything. This ointment costs money, but you're worth more than money. You're worth more than ointment. You're the greatest thing in my life. When's the last time that you had a moment of worship when he was more important than anything and everybody in your life? Worship. Worship. When people say that they love him, you can't get them to worship him. Something is wrong. Worship is uninteresting and boring and unappealing. Something is wrong. Oh God, let us get back to where Jesus is the center of our life. You may feel like dancing. Dance. You may feel like running, then run. You may feel like crying, then cry. You may feel like breaking an alabaster box. Then break the alabaster box. But my God, worship him. Honor him. Lift him up. None of us earned our way in. No matter your last name. We were all dying lost and going to hell. And there was only one man qualified. There was only one redemptive sacrifice. And it was Jesus Christ that was willing to climb Calvary's hill and shed eternal, innocent, spotless blood for sinners like us. And we ought to worship him. Every service ought to be a celebration of worship to the Lord. Song service ought to be a worship to him. But in the midst of this worship, we're at Simon's house. Simon the Pharisee. Simon the father of Judas. Simon the leper. He says, in my text in Luke, he begins to say within himself. I need somebody that's good at muttering under your breath. You good at that too? You're multi-talented. Switch chairs. You went from Jesus to the mutterer. He says within himself. He wouldn't vocalize it, lest Jesus might hear it. But he says within himself, that's too much worship. That's too outlandish. That's too expensive. Who does she think she is? She is a sinner. I quote directly. She is a sinner. Simon the leper. This dinner is his idea. In one text of the four stories, he invites Jesus. But does anybody see anything spectacular about the fact that a leper is hosting a dinner? How in the world does a leper host a dinner? In that society, a leper was not a host of dinners, but rather he was an outcast. He was not allowed fellowship even with his very own family. So how in the world does Simon the leper host a dinner for Jesus? I'll tell you how. Somewhere on one of those dusty roads, maybe historians are correct that he was one of the 10 lepers. Oh, let me preach right here for a while. I told you I've been all over this text up and down. But he was one of those 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus. And he's so thrilled and he's so excited that he wants to have a dinner for Jesus because he's not a leper anymore. But he's allowed to go back home. He's allowed to be with his family. He's allowed to see his children. Can you look back and see what God has done for you? It makes me want to shout. Yeah, it makes me want to throw a party. Kind of over in Luke 15, when the prodigal came home, let's have a party. When the shepherd went out and found the lost sheep, he called his neighbors and said, come on, let's have a party. When the woman found the lost coin, she called her neighbors and said, let's have a party. I'm telling you, when I look back, and see, I was lost and undone, and I was an outcast, and I'm saved, and I'm washed, and my name's written in the book of life. You may not like me clapping my hands. You may not like the way I stomp my feet. You may not like the way I sweat when I preach, but excuse me, I'm ready to have a party. I'm ready to celebrate. I've been found. I've been redeemed. I've been washed. I've been clean. I'm not a leper anymore. But something happens to Simon. Somewhere between sending out the dinner invitations and Jesus getting there, he becomes cynical. And he begins to talk to himself. You can see people struggle even during worship. They're not loose. They're watching everybody else. Who does Mary think she is? This time last week, I know where she was at. I know her history. I know her past. She'll go right back to it. Why waste expensive waste in my house? Who's going to clean it up when Mary is being blessed in the presence of God? My question for you tonight is, which would you rather be, a worshiper or a cynic? Which would you rather be, one full of praise or one full of poison? Which would you rather be, one that honors him with your tears and your worship, or one that mutters because of those that are worshiping all around you? I've got news, friend. I decided a long time ago there's nothing too expensive for Jesus. No, 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 no. No, no, no. A sacrifice is worth it. Amen. Oh, I wish I could preach about Jesus tonight. I'd love to thrill your heart about Jesus. Amen. Look back where he brought you from. Look back, friend. I mean, for some of us, he reached way down into the miry pit of sin. When you got saved, you had some addictions. You had some bottles in the refrigerator. You had some things in the car. You had some things in the closet, but he cleaned you up. I said he cleaned you up. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I would to God a supernatural charge would go through this building that we'd realize it's Jesus. I said it's all about Jesus. If it were not for Jesus, I said none of us would be here tonight. If it were not for Jesus, I wouldn't be clapping my hands. If it were not for Jesus, I wouldn't be shouting and dancing. But oh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus, and he's worthy of praise. It's Jesus, and he's worthy of glory. It's Jesus. I'm going to clap about him. I'm going to dance for him. I'm going to lift up my voice for him. Every time I preach, every time I sing, every day that I live, I'm going to lift him up. He's altogether the cynic. I'd love for every moment of worship to have nothing but worshipers. Wouldn't you? Which would you rather be? A worshiper or a cynic? But Simon says within himself. In this text, if you're like me, most of the time, who gets the credit for saying, why was this not sold for 300 pence? You're whispering it. You got the right answer. Judas usually gets the credit, does he not?
Judas said it out loud. Another gospel writer said some of the disciples said within themselves. Luke said, Simon said it to himself. Can you be Simon's son for a second, just for a second? In our text, Simon has a son. Simon the cynic has a son. Simon the critical one has a son. Simon the leper that Jesus healed has a son. Simon the Pharisee has a son. And his son probably catches wind of what dad is unhappy about. Because the son's always close enough to know what's going on in dad's life. So Simon's muttering within himself while Mary is worshiping and Mary is carrying on her foolishness and her charismatic moment. There's Simon the dignified, Simon the cynic, Simon the reserved, Simon the unemotional, Simon that says, I'm not going to get carried away like that. But when you get critical in the midst of worship, it produces a Judas. Parents, catch us tonight. When you go to church and your children look around and there are Marys and different ones worshiping and magnifying and glorifying God, they look at you and you're cynical and critical and not involved, I'm thinking, my God, Simon, what's wrong with you? Before you met Jesus, you was an outcast. Before you met Jesus, you were sitting on the side of a dusty road begging. What's the matter with you, Simon? Look where Jesus has brought you from. But it's the same spirit that I saw as an evangelist, that I saw as a pastor's son, that I see in a church I pastor, that some sit around high and mighty like they earned this thing, like they did God a favor by showing up to church. I'm saying, my God, oh, let me humble myself that if God doesn't give me grace, I can't make it. If God doesn't give me his spirit, I can't live another day. But I'm here tonight by Jesus. I said, I'm here tonight by the Son of God. I said, I'm here, and it's all in Jesus. But Simon produces a son. Well, I don't know why they do that down there at that church. I don't understand why Sunday school teacher, who he's trying to preach to tonight. Be careful. Be careful. Because when you're cynical in a moment of worship, you'll produce a Judas. Because Judas says out loud, why was not this sold for 300 pieces of silver? You see, dad's satisfied to be complacent. Dad's satisfied to be critical, but not Judas. It's going to drive Judas away. It's going to cause Judas to betray the Lord, the one that he sent in the presence of Jesus. Oh, my God, tonight, how many young people
have heard mom and dad talk down everybody at the church? How many young people have heard mom and dad rip on everybody at the church, from the preachers to the janitors to the lawn maintenance? They don't give a dollar in the offering. They wouldn't dare change a light bulb. They wouldn't dare do anything but rip everybody else to shreds and wonder why Johnny turned out, amen, to be like Judas. I got news for you. You didn't show them how to worship. You didn't show them how to love Jesus. You got cynical. You got critical. You forgot where he brought you from. But when I look back, I realize I was a leper. I was an outcast. I was undone. But look where I'm at tonight. I said my name is written in the book of life. And if you get excited about anything, don't get excited about a dollar bill or a bass boat. Get excited about Jesus. Get excited about the Son of God. What would it do for your children to see you come in the house of the Lord and to say, oh Jesus, I gotta get to Jesus. I gotta get to Jesus. I gotta get to Jesus. I've gotta sacrifice a praise. I've gotta sacrifice a praise. What does it do to them? We say, Jesus is more important than anything in our life. But Wednesday night rolls around. Well, baby, I'm just a little too tired to go. Let Daddy just sit back and relax. Well, you got a little sniffle. We better all stay home tonight. We don't want to give it to anybody else. Nobody can praise him like you can. Nobody can do it like you can. Bring your praise to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm going to break this alabaster box. Lord, I want this whole place perfumed with my praise and my worship. When you come into a room, what kind of atmosphere fills the room? Does an atmosphere of praise? I can feel it in church services. You can too. Somebody comes in and you can feel like, oh, they're here to worship. They're here to honor him. And then some come in. They just come to be the show. That's why they come late. So everybody can see them come in. They can't stand just to blend in with everybody else. They don't want to just be one of the worshipers. They want to upset the apple cart so everybody sees them. Let's everybody wear red to match. They'll wear blue on purpose. Let's have prayer meeting on Tuesday. They'll show up Monday. Cantankerous. Just wanting. You may not think so, but go see a psychiatrist. You got issues. They got names for those diseases. You got abandonment and trust issues. Rough childhood. I'm not trying to deny that. I'm just trying to tell you it's time for you to get past all that. It's time for you to become a worshiper. It's time for you to put Simon out and say, Simon, hey boy, remember you was a leper before Jesus found you. Let's have a celebration. Let's say, I told you the shout might have been the best part of this service for you. I told you and I warned you before I even started preaching. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be a Simon. I don't want to be a leper that forgets where he brought me from. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. I want to make some noise. I would to God I was preaching in a black church right now. I tell them to make some noise. They'd make some noise. I guarantee that. They may not be anointed, but they'd make some noise. I would to God tonight that we'd break some alabaster boxes. We'd break out some praise. We'd break out some shouts. We'd break out some hand claps and say hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I was a leper, but now I'm found. found. I was blind, but now I see. I've been saved. I've been washed. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. I said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't mean any disrespect to any black church. If I could preach and hoop like them, maybe you'd shout like they do. How would I could hoop right now? But it's Jesus. I remember, I said, I remember, I was going to hell, I was lost, I was an undone sinner, we were lepers, we were outcasts, we were drug addicts and drunkards, but we're saved. I said, we're saved and washed, saved by the blood of Jesus. It makes me want to lift up the Son of God. Hallelujah. Cynical or a worshiper? Which one are you? In your moment of worship, which one are you like? Mary? Oh, I want to worship him. Or Simon? Who do they think they are? Jesus said, I got something to talk to you about, Simon. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not going to mess up her worship. Come here, Simon. She's worshiping. Don't mess up her worship. I don't care if you jump up and down. I don't care if you go in circles. I don't care if you cry. I don't care if you roll. I don't care if you run backwards. But worship him. Don't forget. I said don't forget. Don't forget where he brought you from. Look back. I can see without him. You might be in hell, but let the devil know tonight, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to lift up. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, bail me out, man. My question for you, what do you think about Jesus?
What I was saying. What you think about Jesus?
What do you think about Jesus? When I look back and see where he brought me from, it makes me want to worship.
Well, tell me what you think about Jesus. Well, what you think about Jesus? What you think about Jesus? Well, he's all right, you know he saved our soul from hell. Yeah, he saved our soul from hell. He saved my soul from hell. Well, he's all right, all right.